Instead, what he's doing is that he's correcting behavior in a corporate worship service and how people would operate fleshly with their own desires in a corporate setting. The fleshly behavior of some Corinthians does not invalidate their spiritual experiences.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Pentecost. The baptism in the Holy Spirit has many ongoing purposes, and one of those purposes is a prayerful purpose. My hope for you today is that you experience this promise and fulfill its purposes. I pray that through this message and throughout this series, you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged by the Word of God. Today's message is part two of a prayerful purpose.
So in our time remaining, I just want to focus on the prayerful purpose of tongues that every believer, every spirit-filled believer can exercise on an ongoing basis. And I believe that we Pentecostals have done a poor job communicating this scripturally. And also, secondly, we've done a poor job demonstrating this. And I think that's why it's brought confusion to the body of Christ. This should not be a confusing issue because it's in the Word of God. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That order is important, by the way. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. You can't have them backwards. If you have them backwards, this is where you run into problems. But especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love first, secondly, desire spiritual gifts. And it's for this reason. Remember, love cannot precede zeal. Love is key in all spiritual operations. All spiritual operations. And if we operate fleshly, selfishly, arrogantly, it's going to end up being a mess. See, they loved the gifts more than they loved each other. The gifts were paramount to loving God and loving people. And that's why when we read, if you think about this, chapter 14, what chapter is before chapter 14? It's the love chapter, yes? Love suffers long, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. When the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of the Spirit, any spiritual operation, including praying in tongues, it should never parade itself around. I don't know how we don't make this connection in Pentecost. I don't understand why we don't make this connection. Especially the gifts of the Spirit. You have to be born again to operate in those gifts, but you don't have to be real super spiritual, by the way. You just have to be willing. You have to receive. But listen, if God has a purpose and a spiritual gift needs to be in operation, He'll use a believer who is willing. And sometimes people pray in the Spirit, and they pray in the Spirit, and they don't love people the way they should. And when they do, it becomes off very arrogant. It comes out very, they parade themselves. And it should not be arrogant. It should not be rude. It should not seek its own. This morning, since prayer time, I've probably spent a majority of my time praying in the Spirit. But most of you haven't even heard me, right? I don't have to. Why would I have to live? What does volume have to do with anything? Usually it has to do with this. Look at me. See, we create an atmosphere that is not faith. We create an atmosphere that is emotional. And we got to be careful. God made us emotionally. We're going to react to things. When God visits us spiritually, the emotion will get involved. But you can't take the emotion and contact God spiritually. Do you follow me? Listen, because if I preach louder and if I get all excited, that may give you a little bump. But if I'm not preaching the Word, it's going to fall flat on its face sooner or later. You're going to walk home and say, what did he just preach? But listen, when you walk out here, I don't want you to remember the atmosphere, honestly. I want you to remember the Word of God. Because if we become atmosphere-driven, experience-driven, you're not going to be grounded as a Christian. And I think it's a disservice when all we do is create environment. Should we have an environment of worship? Absolutely. Listen, to operate in the gifts without love, it perverts the intentions of the gift negatively. And I know people through the years who have spoken tongues, and they operate in the gifts, but they violate the parameters of love, and they parade the gifts on their own. And I'm telling you, it is, if the motivation of your heart is not right, a demonstration of spiritual operations will cause confusion, and it will hurt the corporate body. Again, we must remember 1 Corinthians is a corrective letter. Paul addresses, again, questions that have been raised, and he corrects reported behaviors. And this area of spiritual operations, Paul is bringing correction and order. The real issue in Corinth was not tongues. Listen to me. The real issue in Corinth was not tongues. Even in chapter 14, the issue is not tongues. I don't know why people get all messed up on this. Just read the chapters prior and after even. Read the entire letter. You really get that it was not tongues. The real issue was not tongues. It was not any spiritual operation. It was simply this. They were not operating in love. They were totally fleshly. They had spiritual gifts in operation, but they were subject to their flesh. And listen, Paul never condemns tongues, not once in any capacity. You'll never find anywhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 where Paul condemns tongues. So as we read the following verses, we have to understand this verse and its proper context. Paul is not condemning the gifts. He's not condemning tongues in any manner. Instead, what he's doing is he's correcting behavior in a corporate worship service and how people would operate fleshly with their own desires in a corporate setting. The fleshly behavior of some Corinthians does not invalidate their spiritual experiences. That doesn't invalidate what was going on. If you're going to distinguish between praying in the Spirit and the gift of tongues, you got to focus on these following verses. Let's go to verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. What? When the gift is in operation, why do you think you need an interpretation? However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. When a person speaks in tongues, who does that person speak to? God. God, he speaks to God. They speak to God. Is speaking to God a bad thing? I don't ever know that speaking to God is a bad thing, unless you don't want an answer. When is speaking to God a bad thing? It's never a bad thing. Don't we call it, by the way, is that called prayer too? Prayer is speaking to God? Okay, a person speaking in tongues does not speak to man, but instead speaks to God. Prayer is talking about having a dialogue with God. A person who speaks in a tongue speaks to God. And I hope already you can see the value of praying in the Spirit. By that one verse, you should already see the value of this. When a person prays in the Spirit, they are speaking to God. The second part of that verse says that no one understands that person speaking in tongues. In their spirit, they speak mysteries in their spirit is what they're saying. So that's why in a corporate setting, when the gift is in operation, remember, tongues and the gift of tongues are different. They're distinct, but in essence, they're the same. They have different purposes, but in essence, they're the same. But in a corporate setting, you have to be careful because it's not about you. It's about everyone else. I've said this before. When you become born again, when you become part of a church, you check your self card at the door. And I don't care what church you go to. It's not about you, and that includes the pastor. If we walk in and we make something about us, we're going to cause problems. And that's what they did in Corinth. It was all about them. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. And they would just showboat. They would show it off. If you know anything about the culture of Corinth, you would understand why they were doing this. If you know anything about the worship background of Corinth, you would understand why they operated this way. That's why Paul said, he didn't say, stop it, stop it. He just said, all right, we need to correct. Because he wanted them to be eager and desire spiritual gifts. He wanted them to operate in spiritual operations. He didn't want to snuff it out. He didn't want to put it out. He just wanted to channel it correctly because it has a purpose. See, if he would have came in and just said, no, 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 it would have stopped something that was very important. What is the purpose of praying in the Spirit then? Well, he who speaks in a tongue speaks to God, right? 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies, that's why Paul was having a problem. See, there'd be someone come in, they'd come in to start speaking in tongues real loud, edifying themselves, but they didn't care who about anyone else. They didn't care about how that affected anyone else. They didn't care. They were just about themselves. You know, religion can get selfish, even in Pentecostal churches. You should come in eagerly desiring to worship God and to seek him, But it's not all about you. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. If a pastor's preaching, don't matter if it's me or anyone else, if someone stands up and starts speaking in tongues, because you are out of order, Holy Spirit will not interrupt himself. Order and decency. See, this was the issue they were having in Corinth. It wasn't tongues. It was the flesh. It was how selfish they were. Speaking in tongues while maybe someone was preaching. And that's why Paul began with love. If you love, you're going to operate in these gifts correctly. Praying in the Spirit is speaking to God spiritually, and it benefits the person speaking in tongues. It edifies that person. It builds them up. It encourages them spiritually. And that's not a bad thing. But in a church service, it's not about you. And if you're going to pray in the Spirit, there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to bring it to a high level to where everybody hears you. Pray in the Spirit. It builds you up. There's nothing wrong with that. Look what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 14:5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. Again, is he condemning tongues? Paul never condemns tongues. In fact, he promotes tongues, doesn't he? And praying in the Spirit or corporately as a gift and operation, he never condemns any function of tongues. All he corrects is disorderly behavior. But he never condemns tongues or the gift. He never condemns anyone praying in the Spirit. What sometimes we read into this too much. We read about what's there and we forget what's not there. Paul tells the Corinthians in church that all things should be conducted in order and decency for the benefit of the church. Many of the Corinthian believers were in the flesh. They operated in the flesh. They operated in spiritual gifts, but they were corrupted by the flesh. The gifts do not bypass the flesh. They are subject to the flesh. Some of you have seen the gifts in operation done in excellence, and you've seen the gifts of the Spirit operated in flesh. When a person operates in spiritual gifts or in an operation such as praying in the Spirit, they are not overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. They operate spiritually, and they are in control of their faculties. Isn't self-control a fruit of the Spirit? What we got to do as Pentecostals understand that there is spiritual operations and there are fleshly operations. And that doesn't cancel it one or the other. Me just saying that doesn't invalidate spiritual manifestations. Order and decency. Decency, look up the word, take some time, go home, read that word decency. Look at that word in the Greek. It'll say honesty. Things should be done in order and with honesty. Integrity. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. There's nothing wrong with this, by the way. You should pray in the Spirit so that your spirit is built up and edified. If you pray in the Spirit, is that you will be ministered to in both areas. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will also pray with understanding. I mean, he'll pray in English if he's speaking English. I will sing with the Spirit. Where do you see interpretation for that one, by the way? And I will also sing with the understanding. So I will sing with my spirit. So does that, again, require an interpretation? It doesn't. When I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My born-again spirit prays. But my mind does not understand. It is not edified. But my spirit prays, and it is edified. This is what most Pentecostals do in most circumstances concerning tongues. They focus on the gifts. They fail to discern the personal prayer aspect of a spirit-filled believer. Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your what? Most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray spiritually. It's from our spirit, and it results in encouraging the believer spiritually.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the Word of God. I want to encourage you to serve the Lord Jesus with all your heart and experience His many promises for your life. The baptism in the Holy Spirit has a prayerful purpose, and I hope that you are challenged to seek and fulfill this purpose. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, I pray you are blessed as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.